Don't touch that browser. This is Stefan Yah. We're doing a study on Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 today, and I'm departing from using the King James for today and using not a modern version, but an older 70-ish version, and it's a paraphrase called the Living Word. And I thought you might enjoy some of this, bringing out in the book of Ephesians some of the things that we don't really emphasize that much about our need to be saved. Not that they change any wording in here, but there's more emphasis, as we'll find out. Ephesians 1:4, long ago, even before he made the world, Yahweh chose us to be his very own, though what the Messiah would do for us, he decided then to make us separated and pure in his eyes without a single fault. We who stand before him, covered with his love. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us unto his own family by sending Yahusha HaMashiach to die for us, and he did this because he wanted to. Verse 7, so overflowing is his kindness towards us that he took away all our sins through the blood of his Son, by whom we are saved, and he has showered down upon us the riches of his favor, his unmerited favor, for how well he understands us and knows what is best for us at all times. Yahweh has told us his secret reason for sending the Messiah, a plan he decided on in mercy long ago. And this was his purpose, that when the time is ripe, he will gather us all together from wherever we are, in heaven or on earth, to be with him in Messiah forever. Now, I would look that up in the King James, because we're not going to be up in heaven when he calls. Nobody, according to the scriptures, according to the book of Acts chapter 2, for example, even David, King David, is not even there. This 1, 9, and 10 from the King James. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Messiah. So all things in Messiah, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worked all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his esteem, who first trusted in the Messiah. And that was Ephesians 1, 9, 10, and 11 from the King James Version. Moreover, because of what the Messiah has done, we have become gifts to Yahweh that he delights in, for as part of Yahweh's sovereign plan, we were chosen from the beginning to be his, and all things happened just as he decided long ago. Yahweh's promise in this was that we should praise Yahweh and give esteem to him for doing these mighty things for us who were the first to trust in Messiah. And because of what Messiah did, all you others too, who heard the good news about how to be saved and trusted Messiah, were marked as belonging to Messiah by the Ruach HaKadosh. Or they put in here the Holy Spirit. That's holy is not a good word to use, as we have proven. So marked as belonging to Messiah by the Ruach HaKadosh, or the Spirit, who long ago had been promised to all of us believers. His presence within us is Yahweh's guarantee that he really will give us all that he promised, and that the Spirit's seal upon us means that Yahweh has already purchased us, and that he guaranteed to bring us to himself. This is just one more reason for us to praise our magnificent, mighty one. In verse 18, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light, so that you can see something of the future he has called you to share. I want you to realize that Yahweh has been made rich because we who are Messiahs have been given to him. I pray you'll begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe him. It is that same mighty power that raised Messiah from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at Yahweh's right hand in heaven, far, far above any other king or ruler or dictator or leader. Yes, So that's talking about the Messiah, far above any of us. Yes, his honor is far more magnificent than that of anyone else, either in the world or in the world to come. And Yah has put all things under his feet and made him the supreme head of the assembly, which is his body, filled with himself, the author and giver of everything everywhere. That was in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. And we're reading today from the Living and also changing some of the words like G-O-D and L-O-R-D. So I'll be saying the correct word Yava when it says L-O-R-D, for example. Or instead of G-O-D, I'll be saying Yah, which is spelled Y-A-H-H, or with the vowel points, Yahu. Chapter 2 of Ephesians. Once you were under Yahweh's curse, doomed forever for your sins. You went along with a crowd and were just like all the others, full of sin, obeying Satan, the mighty prince of the power of the air, who is at work right now in the hearts of those who are against Yahweh. All of us used to be just as they are, our lives just as they are, our lives expressing the evil within us, doing every wicked thing our passions or our evil thoughts might lead us into. We started out badly, being born with evil natures, and were under Yahweh's anger, just like everyone else. But Yah is so rich in mercy, he loved us so much that even though we were spiritually dead and doomed by our sins, he gave us back our lives again when he raised the Messiah from the dead. Only by his undeserved favor have we ever been saved. Now, they actually used that English word, undeserved favor, here in the Living. Only by his undeserved favor have we ever been saved and lifted us up from the grave into esteem along with Messiah, where we sit with him in the heavenly realms. All because of what Messiah did. So that would be found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And now, Yahweh can always point to us as examples of how very, very rich his kindness is, as shown in all he has done for us through the Messiah. Because of his kindness, you have been saved through trusting the Messiah, and even trusting is not of yourselves, it too is a gift from Yahweh. So in other words, in the King James, it says, for by faith are we saved, it says, for by unmerited favor are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of Yahweh, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Messiah unto good works. So I'll switch now back to the Living. Verse 9, salvation is not a reward for the good we have done, so none of us can take any credit for it. It is Yah himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Yahusha Messiah, and long ages ago he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. Never forget that once you were heathen, and that you were called godless and unclean by the Jews, but their hearts also were still unclean. That's a generality there. Not all Jews were unclean. They were still unclean, even though they were going through the ceremonies and rituals of the goodly, for they circumcised themselves as a sign of goodliness. Remember that in those days you were living utterly apart from Messiah. You were enemies of Yahweh's children, or Yah's children, and he had promised you no help. You were lost without Yahweh, without hope. But now you belong to Yahusha the Messiah, and though you were once far away from Yah, now you have been brought very near to him because of what Yahusha Messiah has done for you with his blood. For Messiah himself is our way of peace. He has made peace between us, Jews and Gentiles, by making us all one family, breaking down the wall of contempt that used to separate us. By his death, he ended the angry resentment between us caused by, and then he has false doctrine written in here. It says it was caused by the Jewish laws which favored the Jews, and I don't even want to read that publicly on the cyberspace there. So I'll skip that. And then he took the two groups that had been opposed to each other and made them parts of himself. Thus he fused us together to become one new person, and at last there was peace. As parts of the same body, our anger against each other has disappeared, for both of us have been reconciled to Yahweh, and so the feud ended at last at the tree. and he has brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and to us Jews who were near. Now all of us, whether Jews or Gentiles, may come to Yah the Father with a Ruach HaKadosh's help because of what Messiah has done for us. Now you are no longer strangers to Yahweh and foreigners to heaven, but you are members of Yahweh's very own family, citizens of Yahweh's country, and you belong in Yah's household and with every other true believer. What a foundation you stand on now. The apostles and the prophets and the cornerstone of the building is Yahushua Messiah himself. We who believe are carefully joined together with Messiah as parts of a beautiful, constantly growing temple for Yah, and you also are joined with him and with each other by the Spirit and are part of this dwelling place of Yahweh. Ephesians 3, verse 12. Now we can come fearlessly right into Yahweh's presence, assured of his glad welcome, when we come with the Messiah and trust in him. Isn't that something? And the last verses say, now splendor be to Yah, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. May he be given esteem or splendor forever and ever through endless ages because of his master plan of salvation for the assembly through Yahushua the Messiah. Ephesians chapter 4. I beg you, I, a prisoner here in jail, for serving Yahweh, to live and act in a way worthy of those who have been chosen for such wonderful blessings as these. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Try always to be led along together by the Spirit, and so it be at peace with one another. Then in verse 17, let me say this, then, speaking for Yahweh, live no longer as the unsaved do, for they are blended, or they are blinded, rather, and confused. Those who don't live for Yahweh. Their closed hearts are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of Yah because they have shut their minds against him, and they cannot understand his ways. They don't care anymore about right and wrong, and they have given themselves over to impure ways. That reminds me of a lot of people in the assembly. We're not supposed to say anything about it or bring up an issue. That's what keeps the money coming in. We don't want them to leave. Well, that's not dealing truthfully, is it? So back to the scripture. They don't care anymore about right and wrong and have given themselves over to impure ways. They stop at nothing, being driven by their evil minds and reckless lusts. But that isn't the way Messiah taught you. If you have really heard his voice and learned from him the truths concerning himself, then throw off your old evil nature, the old you that was a partner in your evil ways, rotten through and through, full of lust and shame. Or full of lust and sham, it says here. Now your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better. Yes, you must be new and a different person, separated and good. Clothe yourself with this new nature. Stop lying to each other. Tell the truth. For we are parts of each other, and when we lie to each other, we are hurting ourselves. If you're angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Get over it quickly, for when you're angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. If anyone is stealing, he must stop it and begin using their hands for honest work so he can give to others in need. Don't use bad language. Say only what is good and helpful to those you're talking to and what will give them a blessing. Don't cause the Spirit sorrow by the way you live. Remember, he is the one who marks you to be present on that day when salvation from sin will be complete. Stop being mean, bad-tempered, and angry. Quarreling, harsh words, and dislike of others should have no place in your lives. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Yah has forgiven you, because you belong to Messiah. Follow Yahweh's example in everything you do, just as a much-loved child imitates his father. Be full of love for others, following the example of Messiah who loved you and gave himself to Yah as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And Yah was pleased, for Messiah's love for you was like sweet perfume to him. We're ending up there in the original Living Version, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Now, to other notes. I have many, many notes to share with you today. One of them is a song that should have been sung on the Feast of Sukkot, on Tabernacles. Let there be a canopy. Let there be a canopy stretched forth to thy praise, a Sukkot for the esteem of Yah. Make it great by lifting hands stretched forth to thy praise, a Sukkot for the esteem of Yahweh. That thy unmerited favor may abide, that thy esteem reside in this place where we pause on our way. Yahweh, we raise our hands in praise and ask you to tabernacle in this tent for the esteem of Yahweh. Let there be a canopy. Oh, nice song. And one of the other notes there, the Feast of Tabernacles replaced by the world for their feasts, such as their New Year's celebration, when they say, Happy New Year, and in the middle of the night, New Year's, turn on the television, turn up the crowd noise, pop open a beer and let's play ball. The grass is artificial. And in the middle of the night, we wake each other up with fireworks and guns. And then let's play football, throw things, and fight with second or third in or outlaws. And that might be the Roman New Year celebration, but it is not the scriptural New Year. In the scriptural New Year, usually in the common month of March, what's new in the true New Year? Green grass and beautiful new blossoms, beautiful flowers. Feasting 8 days with Yahweh during Pesach, during Passover. Feasting with the brethren and with Yahweh. Hearing inspiring sermons. Leaving the bondage of man's federal holidays with all of its furious driving and preparing for the bridegroom's return at the feast. See 2 Kings 9:21 about man-made holidays. Get a fresh start each new month with a new moon. And think about Yahweh, our Savior. Further notes about Messiah and the name. In Acts chapter 7, verse 38, who is Messiah? This is he that was in the assembly in the wilderness with a messenger which spake to him in Mount Sinai and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Yahusha into the possession of the Gentiles. And that's an answer as to who is the Messiah, Acts 7:38 and Acts 7:45. This is he was in the assembly in the wilderness, the messenger which spake to him in the Mount Sinai with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us. And our fathers that came after brought in with Yahusha into the possession of the Gentiles. They said about the Messiah in John chapter 20, my master and my Yahweh. John 20:28. 1 Corinthians 10, this is going to be a good 10:4 here. 1 Corinthians 10, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all immersed into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock that followed them was the sun. Yeshayahu chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This is in the book of Isaiah or Yeshayahu. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Yahweh, the Mighty YHVH, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase, not decrease, but the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forevermore. The ardor of Yahweh of hosts will perform this, or the zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. praise Yahuwah for his blessed unmerited favor. We're throwing out all the culture around us, the media that's driving most of us today, the Christian rock and roll, Christian feminism. We even have a recording from a pastor of the little country church saying that the law is dung. We might toss that in here and then again. On the website also, we have all the scriptures there that have been recorded so far, including Psalm 119, Psalm 117. Look under scriptures for that. And we'll let the media not affect us, but we'll let the word of Yahweh affect us. How do we give thanks? How does our average on-fire believer in Messiah react to all that football turkey day? Sweet potatoes, couch potatoes, television, with all the relatives talking about their hope for Christmas presents. And what churches are open on this national holiday of Thanksgiving? And who's giving any thanks to Yahweh? Well, I noticed that, Christ the King or something, a Catholic church, would actually be open on the Thanksgiving Day. So that, to their credit, despite all the other problems of changing Yahweh's word and the idolatry and things like that, it can't be avoided in every religion. There seems like there's idolatry, but get rid of that one-eyed idol, that television. If Thanksgiving is only television, TV, and football, then when it's over, I ask, is that all there is? But bow our heads and give thanks to Yahweh for his word in prayer. Thank Yahweh in sincerity, for friends, for the air to breathe, even in the beautiful downtown Los Angeles, right? At least it's air, at least it's something. Thank him for the dry roof over our bedrooms, our transportation. Thank him for the food and drink. Thank Yahweh for his feasts and for his new moons, and most of all for his Sabbaths, for they refresh me, and even for this man-made American festival of Thanksgiving. Luke chapter 10. O Yahweh, I want to read this here in the spirit that it was written. Yahweh, now, it says the Lord, so I'm going to change. What they mean is the Messiah, but it says here the Lord now chose 70 other disciples and sent them on ahead in pair to all the towns and villages he planned to visit later. These were his instructions to them. Plead with the master of the harvest to send out more laborers to help you, for the harvest is so plentiful and the workers so few. Go to now and remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. That was in Luke chapter 10. And let's have some more scriptures about prayer there. That wasn't about prayer. How did that get in there? Well, I guess we need to pray for the harvest, that there'll be plenty, that it plead with the Yahweh of the harvest. Well, pleading isn't, I don't know, that's sort of like begging, isn't it, in a way? But plead, please. But what it was in the King James is pray to the master of the harvest to send out more laborers to help you. So that's how it got in there. Oh, okay, I see. Then Luke chapter 9, 59-62. Obey Yahweh. Some say obey Yahweh, don't obey the Torah. Well, that's a contradiction there. Because Yahweh gave us the Torah. He gave us his laws that we could love him more, not by gaining our salvation, but we could love him more and it would also bring us blessings. Or curses, they'd be automatic curses. It's not an angry Yahweh who just waits for the moment to catch us in some kind of a transgression of the law. No. No, he will gently and mercifully discipline us and lift us up. Praise Yah. And I hope that there's somebody out there praying for his or her friend and relative and lost one and enemy. Luke 9:59. Another time, when he invited a man to come with him and to be his disciple, the man agreed, but wanted to wait until his father's death. Messiah replied, "Let those without eternal life concern themselves with things like that. Your duty is to come and preach the coming of the kingdom of Yahweh to all the world." Another said, "Yes, Master, I will come out, but first let me ask permission of those at home." But Messiah told him, "Anyone who lets himself be distracted from the work I plan for him is not fit for the kingdom of Yahweh." Well, that's a sobering thing there from Luke 9. And praise him for all of its benefits, for his excellent mercy. Praise him for his salvation. Praise him for giving us the gift of eternal life and also the promises of Abraham and the sure mercies of David. So here's a note about the name of the Messiah. HaMashiach means the Messiah. More importantly, employ or use the name Yahusha, not Jesus Christ, in addressing the true Messiah. Perhaps Hosea chapter 2, verse 16 is the strongest evidence that Lord means Baal. As we look it up in the concordance, a Hebrew word 1180. All my notes are correct here. I've checked them and checked them over again, but still there could be mistakes. So it should be Hebrew word 1180 in the Strong's concordance. Okay, here we go with Hosea 2:16, and it shall. Is that the right? Let me see. Was it 2? Yeah, it's 2:16. "And it shall be at that day, saith Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Ishi." That's spelled I-S-H-I. "Thou shalt call me Ishi," or "my man." Oh, yes, and that's, that's 1180. "My man is Ishi. And thou shalt no more call me Bailey," or "master." And I believe I have the number of that Hebrew word here in a moment somewhere. "For I will take away the names of Bailey." There it is, 1168. So instead of 1180, it's which means "my man, Ishi." "He'll take away the names of Bailey out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name." Hebrews. The Hebrew word, 1168. I'm getting too old for this. I don't know. Jeremiah 2:23, Jeremiah Yahu 2:23. "How canst thou say, I am not polluted, I have not gone after Balaam? See the way in the valley, know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary traversing her ways." A swift camel traversing her ways. Jeremiah 2:23. Jeremiah 23, that's chapter 23 now, verse 27. "Which think to cause my people," and talking about priests, "which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal." So there's two powerful verses in Jeremiah that go along with Hosea 2:16. "Shall be in that day, saith Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Ishi, my man, and shalt call me no more Bailey. I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name." Jeremiah 2, "How canst thou say, I'm not polluted, I've not gone after Balaam? See the way in the valley, know what thou hast done. Do you know what you've done? Thou art a swift dromedary traversing your ways." And then 23:27, "Which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal," or for Zeus, for Lord, for Jesus. Jesus, they say, well, that back in Messiah's day, there was not the word Jesus. And so, you know, what happened to us? Most of us probably called on the name Jesus. Well, as a child, we spoke as a child, but now we're a little bit more grown up spiritually in him. If you have any other questions, check with a good concordance, Berry's Greek Interlinear, and the more references you find, the better will be our understanding. And also read the article, "Why the V in Yahweh?" on our website. It will also have that article about the Messiah. Where did the name Yeshua come from, and Messiah's name? There's a lot about both of those there in the Why the V in Yahweh article. So hope that'll be a real blessing to you. I'm sure you can do your own research. Up there at verse 11. When you came to the Messiah, he set you free from your evil desires. Not by a bodily operation of circumcision, but by a spiritual operation, the immersion of your spirits, or the baptism of your souls, it says here. For in baptism you see how your old evil nature died with him. Or I like to use the word immersion better there, but either one. For in immersion you see how your old evil nature died with him and was buried with him. Then you came up out of death with him into a new life because you trusted the word of the mighty Yah who raised the Messiah from the dead. Now I want to continue there. You were dead in your sins, and your sinful desires were not yet cut away. Then he gave you a share in the very life of Messiah, for he forgave all your sins and blotted out the charges proved against you, the list of his ordinances which you had not obeyed. In the Living, it uses commandments. I don't like using that because somebody will get the wrong idea. They'll think that that this is written against the Ten Commandments. No, that wouldn't make any sense at all. Why am I now supposed to go out and break the Sabbath and steal from others and commit adultery and take Yahweh's name in vain? I said, no, I'm not supposed to do that at all. So he's talking about the list of ordinances that were against us. The added law, Jeremiah 7:22 or Ezekiel 20:25, the added law, he gave us laws that were not good for us. In other words, the death penalty and the law of sin offerings, that we had to offer up sin offerings temporarily for our sins. And he blotted out the charges proved against you, the list of his ordinances which you had not obeyed. Well, we hadn't obeyed any of the ordinances, apparently. He took the list of sins and destroyed it by nailing it to Messiah's tree, or they said cross here. In this way, Yahweh took away Satan's power to accuse you of sin. And Yahweh openly displayed to the whole world Messiah's triumph at the tree where your sins were all taken away. That's in Colossians 2, yeah, thereabouts around verse 14. And to the average person who is not finding the first place of mention about Yahweh taking away our sins, you know, going back to the Torah, finding out what sin is, and that it's and that keeping his commandments is loving him, that then the average evangelical, childish person will actually go to the false understanding here and assume that the commandments are the problem. And if that Messiah just does away with the commandments, then there won't be any sin anymore, and then we won't be tempted. Well, that's what in America they're doing away with the laws of marijuana, Acts chapter 26, verse 20. Okay, verse 19. And so, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to that vision from heaven. I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and through Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must forsake their sins and turn to Yahweh, and prove their repentance by doing good deeds, by keeping the commandments. There is one of obedience in Acts 26:20. Then we go to Romans chapter 6, verse 5, and kind of wandering through the word here a little bit. Now, this one is about immersion in Romans 6, 5, right? So, talking about the Messiah. For you have become a part of him, and so you died with him, so to speak, when he died. And now you share his new life, and shall rise as he did. Your old desires were nailed to the tree with him, and that part of you that loves to sin was crushed and fatally wounded, so that your sin-loving body is no longer under sin's control, no longer needs to be slave to sin. For when you are deadened to sin, you are freed from all its allure and its power over you. And since your old sin-loving nature died with Messiah, you know that you shall share his new life. Messiah rose from the dead and will never die again. death no longer has any power over him. He died once for all to end sin's power, but now he lives forever in unbroken fellowship with Yah. So look upon your old sin nature as dead and unresponsive to sin, and instead be alive to Yah, alert to him through Messiah, our Mighty One. And to back up, to get that context there about the immersion, and then we'll go to a beautiful thing about that's parallel to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So we're Romans 6, verse 1. Well then, shall we keep on sinning so that Yahweh can keep on showing us more and more kindness and forgiveness? Of course not. Should we keep on sinning when we don't have to? For sin's power over us was broken when we became believers and were immersed or baptized to become a part of Messiah Yahusha. Through his death, the power of your sinful nature was shattered. Your old sin-loving nature was buried with him by immersion, by baptism, when he died, when Yah the Father, with magnificent power, splendid power, brought him back to life again. You were given this wonderful new life to enjoy. We're going to continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I think I'm right here in verse 9, basically. In the previous verse, instead you yourselves are the ones who do wrong, cheating others, even your own brothers. Verse 9, don't you know that those doing such things have no share in the kingdom of Yah? Don't fool yourselves. Those who live immoral lives, who are idol worshippers, adulterers, or homosexuals, will have no share in his kingdom. I wonder if that word there about sodomy is the same in the New Living Version. But this is the old one here. They will have no share in his kingdom. Neither will thieves or greedy people, drunkards, slanderers, or robbers. There was a time when some of you were just like that, but now your sins are washed away. And you are set apart for Yah. He has accepted you because of what it says L-O-R-D, so I'll change that to master for now. You could change it to husband, or that ishi that we had there, my man. So accepted you because of what the master, Yahusha the Messiah, and the spirit of Yah has done for you. I can do anything I want to if Messiah has not said no, but some of these things aren't good for me. Even if I am allowed to do them, I'll refuse to if I think they might get such a grip on me that I can't easily stop when I want to. For example, take the matter of eating. In verse 13, Paul says, for example, take the matter of eating. Yah has given us an appetite for food and stomachs to digest it, but that doesn't mean we should eat more than we need. Don't think of eating as important, because someday Yahweh will do away with both stomachs and food. Oh, you mean there'll be no more eating in the kingdom of heaven to come? Oh, no, no. That's just our physical bodies are going to be done away. We have to put on that resurrection power. But sexual sin is never right. Our bodies were not made for that, but for Yahweh. And Yahweh wants to fill our bodies with himself. And Yah is going to raise our bodies from the dead by his power, just as he raised up the Master Yahusha Messiah. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts and members of Messiah? So should I take part of Messiah and join him to a prostitute? Never. And don't you know that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, she becomes a part of him, and he becomes a part of her? For Yah tells us in the scripture that in his sight the two become one person. So this is found here in 1 Corinthians 6. Now verse 17, but if you give yourselves to Yahweh, you and the Messiah are joined together as one person. Verse 18, that is why I say to run from sex sin. No other sin affects the body as this one does. Now, there's a lot of other sins, and they affect our spirits in different ways, but this one affects the body. No other sin affects the body as this one does, the sexual sins. When you see this sin, it is against your own body. Haven't you yet learned that your body is the home of the Ruach HaKadosh Yah gave you, and that he lives within you? Your own body does not belong to you, for Yahweh has bought you at a great price. So use every part of your body to give esteem back to Yahweh, because he owns it. Oh, yes. I like that. More scriptures are on the way on YahwehYahweh.name. Ephesians 3, verse 12. Now we can come fearlessly right into Yahweh's presence, assured of his glad welcome, when we come with the Messiah and trust in him. Isn't that something? And the last verses say, now splendor be to Yah who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. May he be given esteem or splendor forever and ever through endless ages, because of his master plan of salvation for the assembly through Yahushua the Messiah. Ephesians chapter 4. I beg you, I, a prisoner here in jail, for serving Yahweh, to live and act in a way worthy of those who have been chosen for such wonderful blessings as these. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Try always to be led along together by the Spirit, and so be at peace with one another. Then in verse 17, let me say this, then, speaking for Yahweh, live no longer as the unsaved do, for they are blinded, and confused. Those who don't live for Yahweh, their closed hearts are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of Yah because they have shut their minds against him, and they cannot understand his ways. They don't care anymore about right and wrong, and they have given themselves over to impure ways. That reminds me of a lot of people in the assembly. We're not supposed to say anything about it or bring up an issue. That's what, keeps the money coming in. We don't want them to leave. Well, that's not dealing truthfully, is it? So back to the scripture. They don't care anymore about right and wrong and have given themselves over to impure ways. They stop at nothing, being driven by their evil minds and reckless lusts. But that isn't the way Messiah taught you. If you have really heard his voice and learned from him the truths concerning himself, then throw off your old evil nature, the old you that was a partner in your evil ways, rotten through and through, full of lust and shame. Or full of lust and sham, it says here. Now your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better. Yes, you must be new and a different person, separated and good. Clothe yourself with this new nature. Stop lying to each other. Tell the truth. For we are parts of each other, and when we lie to each other, we are hurting ourselves. If you're angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Don't let the sun go down with you, still angry. Get over it quickly, for when you're angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. If anyone is stealing, he must stop it and begin using their hands for honest work so he can give to others in need. Don't use bad language. Say only what is good and helpful to those you're talking to and what will give them a blessing. Don't cause the Spirit sorrow by the way you live. Remember, he is the one who marks you to be present on that day when salvation from sin will be complete. Stop being mean, bad-tempered, and angry. Quarreling, harsh words, and dislike of others should have no place in your lives. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Yah has forgiven you, because you belong to Messiah. Follow Yah's example in everything you do, just as a much-loved child imitates his father. Be full of love for others, following the example of Messiah who loved you and gave himself to Yah as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And Yah was pleased, for Messiah's love for you was like sweet perfume to him. We're ending up there in the original Living Version, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Another holiday is coming up, Christ and Mass. So I'm going to go to that article, which is found on our website there in text as well. Christ and Mass. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the Almighty One, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law does he meditate day and night, night and day. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. They say, Merry Christmas. Who is Christ? Why not use the correct word, Messiah? Merry Messiah? I'm sorry. For see, Come Out of Her, My People, by C.J. Coster. See the book, Come Out of Her, My People. You can get it from fossilizedcustoms.com/christian.html. on page 70, Ancient Babylon, or ancient Babylonian influences abounded then and abound now, hidden in plain sight. Alexandria was the primary launching point for the new fusion religion we know as Christianity. The word Christos, C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S, Christos is directly related to Krishna, K-R-I-S-H-N-A. Christus and Creston. So Christus is C-R-E-S-T-O-S. And Creston is C-H-R-E-S-T-O-N. These literally mean shining, as they refer to the sun. There was also a movie by that name, filmed at part of it at Timberline Lodge, Mount Hood, and that I've never watched and I never will. Shining. Krishna is the sun deity of the Hindu religion. Now, I don't want to be involved in corrupt media and have that that pagan culture influencing me, getting into Satanism and mysticism and all that. So no thank you, Spielberg. Sorry about that, fans, but I'm not going to, my family are just not, we're going to the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, and the New Testament. So Christ Mass, Christianity has given us Christ Mass. The Mass, what is it? The Mass is the bloody sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's the encyclopedia, the Catholic Encyclopedia, St. Joseph's Missal. Two references for you, the Catholic Encyclopedia. I got my tongue tangled and the eye tooth there, I think. The Mass is the bloody sacrifice of Jesus Christ in body and blood, soul and divinity. That's from the Catholic Encyclopedia, they themselves say. But we read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 8, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin you would not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law." Then he said, "Lo, I come to you to do your will, O Yah." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are all set apart through the offering of the body of Yahushua Messiah once for all, not each Sunday morning, not on the 25th of December, even though the RCC is the only church that's open then, and some Lutherans. And Hebrews 10:11, "Every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." Verse 12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of the Sovereign One." Revelation 18, verse 1, and I'm not going to wait for all of you here, I've got it printed out. 18:1, "And after these things I saw another messenger come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his steam. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit," or pneuma, "and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." So here in the New Testament, how can a bird be unclean if the law of clean and unclean were done away with? Well, the answer is that it wasn't done away with. It's still an abomination to eat an unclean animal. So Babylon has become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her," or spiritual fornication, not just physically. "And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." And I heard another voice from heaven saying, saying, "Come out of her, my people, that all of you be not partakers of her sins, and that all of you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and the Mighty One has remembered her iniquities," or her lawlessness. That's not talking about the Islam, the Muslim religion. I'm sure that they've said some greater things than I have in some of their readings and writings and stuff like that. But so we're not going to put them all down, but a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And if when they're told in the book of Sariah to go out and kill people who don't agree with their God, and that's definitely not a religion for me. I don't think I'd be too interested there in going around doing that to people, running into towers and stuff. And, ooh, boy, you know, that bad hair day. 1 Corinthians 6:16 says, "What? Know you not? Know all of you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, says he, shall be one flesh." Now, in the book of Galatians, the Galatians are not Hebrew, they are Gentiles. Galatians chapter 4 gets more on the cutting edge here about the holidays. "Nonetheless, then, when all of you knew not the Mighty One," they didn't know the Father, "all of you did service unto them which by nature are no mighty ones." And then 1 Thessalonians, "Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not the Mighty One." So I think that we got to get back to Galatians 4 there. I don't know how Thessalonians got in there. We'll have to correct that. But "nevertheless, then, when all of you knew not the Father, all of you did service unto them which by nature are no mighty ones," or Elohim. "But now, after all of you have known the Mighty One," or rather, "are known of the Mighty One, how do you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, which all of you desire again to be in bondage?" Now, keeping the feast days of Yahweh is not in bondage. They are blessings. And furthermore, it's an obedience and commandment. So we're talking here about keeping pagan days. Keeping those. Now, here we go. Let the scripture do the talking for us. "So why do you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements unto which all of you desire again to be in bondage? All of you observe days and months and times and years." Verse 11, "I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you my labor in vain." Now, he couldn't have even been referring to Jewish holidays, such as the days of Purim or Hanukkah, or the special fasting days that were added later. That were, I think they were even once a month there. And I forget exactly which book that's in. It's one of the so-called minor prophets. Talks about the special fasting days that Paul says even we could keep that. So I think we're going to 1 Thessalonians 4:5. "Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not the Mighty One." Jeremiah 10. Another 10:4 here. But it's verse 1. "Hear all of you the word which Yahweh speaks unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith Yahweh. Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them, at the signs of heaven. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cuts a tree, four," that word F-O-R. So as he continues on with the thought, it's therefore. What's it therefore? "Therefore, one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must essentially be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good." Now, is that in Jeremiah 10 speaking of a Christmas tree? Of course not. It couldn't be talking about... It must be something else, right? No, it pretty well describes a tree as they deck it with silver and gold and fasten it with nails and hammers, and it moves not. But nevertheless, or irregardless, it still says in the previous verses to learn not the way of the heathen. And, you know, around the winter solstice, it's always been the custom to have that mistletoe, to kiss under the mistletoe, and all those traditions, the Yuletide... spirit and so on ad nauseum. Okay, ladies and germs, let's go on to Ezekiel 11:12. Ezekiel 11:12. Hezekiah, "And all of you shall know..." No, I just said Hezekiah, didn't I? "All of you shall know that I am Yahweh, for all of you have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have done after the manners of the heathen that are round about you." Ezekiel 11:12. Deuteronomy 12:2. Now these are the statutes and judgments which all of you shall observe to do in the land, which Yahweh, the mighty one of your fathers, gives you to possess it all the days that all of you live upon the earth. All of you shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which all of you shall possess served their mighty ones upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. And all of you shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And all of you shall hew down the graven images of their mighty ones and destroy the names of them out of that place. All of you shall do so unto Yahweh your mighty one. Now, if you're in another country other than America, I don't know what your government permits, but I doubt if you're permitted to go out and destroy somebody else's temple. And so I don't recommend that at all. You better read about it and pray about it first here before you take things into your own hands. But if we were to do that here in America, we'd have to destroy half the country of all the idols and buildings and of with their and every church there's a sun worshiping symbol up there, the steeple, that's it. 1 Kings 14:22. And Judah did evil in the sight of Yahweh, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed above all that their fathers had done, for they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which Yahweh had cast out before the children of Israel. That's First Kings. Now we'll go to 2 Kings 16:2-4. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of Yahweh his mighty one, like David his father. But Ahaz walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire. That's like abortion. And with a saline. To pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen, whom Yahweh cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. Now to the next chapter, 17. Verse 32. So they feared Yahweh, and made unto themselves of the low of them priests of the high places, which he offered for them in the houses of the high places. So they feared Yahweh, but they also made themselves priests who were not qualified. As in today, you know, who checks up on this in assemblies? How many of these leaders of these assemblies are scripturally qualified to be a leader? So they feared Yahweh and served their own Elohim after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not Yahweh, neither do they do after their statutes or after their ordinances, or after the law and commandment which Yahweh commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel. He named Jacob Israel, with whom Yahweh had made a covenant and charged them, saying, all of you shall not fear other Elohim, nor bow down yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them, but Yahweh, who brought you out of the land of Egypt with great power and stretched out arm, him shall all of you fear, and him shall all of you worship, and to him shall all of you do sacrifice, and the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which he wrote for you, all of you observe to do forevermore, and all of you shall not fear their Elohim. And the covenant that I made with you, all of you shall not forget, neither shall all of you fear their Elohim, but Yahweh your sovereign, all of you shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of your enemies. Nevertheless, they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. So these nations feared Yahweh and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. There's another "and" that needs to be capitalized. Then Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19, D through 23. 19D, Jeremiah 2. For of old time I have broken your yoke and burst your bands, and you said, I will not transgress. When upon at the same time, when upon every high hill and under every green tree you wander, playing the harlot. Yet I had planted you a noble vine, wholly a right seed. How then are you turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? For though you wash yourselves with alkali and take you much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, says Yahweh the Mighty One. How can you say, I am not polluted, I have not gone after Balaam? See your way in the valley. Know what you have done? You're a swift dromedary traversing your ways. Isaiah 1:22, your silver is become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves gifts and follows after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither does the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore says Yahweh, Yahweh of hosts, the Mighty One of Israel, ah, I will ease me of my adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your tin. Your dross and your tin. It's going to boil and seethe that right out of us. Chapter 2, verse 7. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. I've got four of them in my driveway, but they're old ones going back to 1967. I think it's a Chevrolet. Neither is there any end to their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. Verse 17, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day, and the idols he shall utterly abolish. Chapter 8, verse 13. Set apart Yahweh of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a set apart place, a mikdash, a sanctuary, that is, as a common word, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for an animal trap and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Verse 16, the next verse, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples, and I will wait upon Yahweh that hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom Yahweh has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from Yahweh of hosts, which dwells in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mumble, should not a people seek unto their Mighty One, for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to that word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly beasted and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their King and their Mighty One and look upward. We pray for one another that the heathen seasons are not a stumbling block to the saved Jews and Gentiles. We will not practice any of their customs, nor bring it into our traditions which are commanded. Let us be inspired, energized, and encouraged by Yahusha's pure spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh. Hallel Yahweh. I am Stefan Yah on YahvehYahweh.name. Shalom.